Like me. Hello there, it's Phil Parr. Don't want to say the name of the, don't want to say the number, because Matthew takes that too seriously. He thinks I know what I'm talking about, and I don't. Anyway, Jack Scrinshaw is our guest. How are you, sir? Where are you and how are you?
Well, I'm in beautiful Nottingham, Eastern UK, and I should say, I don't know whether I should say howdy, Phil, or hello. I think I'll stick with howdy.
Howdy, that'd be good.
Howdy, yeah.
That's kind of Texas, isn't it, boy?
That's right.
That's right. You do that well. You obviously have practiced. Go ahead. What?
Well, it's strange because our family were American on my mom's side, but we were Yankees. We weren't from the South, so.
Oh, did you live in the United States at one time?
No, my grandma was born over there in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York. New York.
Brooklyn, New York, that's right. And they were Irish immigrants, went to Brooklyn, and then came back home.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you read, Robin Hood. The story of Robin Hood, I think, was set in Nottingham, wasn't it?
Yes, that's the one.
Yes, everybody.
That's a hero.
Everybody mentions that. Robin's friend, who was it? I was knocking Presbyterians in the water, and Little John, Big John.
Little John, that's him, Little John. Yeah. Well, we've come to nickname the city on the net now the Robin Hood City. So.
The Robin Hood City, I guess.
The Robin Hood City.
Because every kid, American or English or whatever, has read the story of Robin Hood, who took from the rich and gave to the poor. Our American government does just the opposite. It takes from the poor. For the rich. George Bush, the Robin Hood opposite. Anyway.
Oh, he's the thickest sheriff I've ever seen, I tell you.
Well, I'm a Democrat, so I didn't like him when they elected him. I can't stand him now. I can't even stand to hear him talk. Oh, anyway, I'm glad I'm not the Dixie Chicks, or they'd kick me off the radio. You're just a young fella, Jack. How old are you?
I'm 22 years old, sir.
22. Well, you sound a lot older. You have a nice, mature voice that obviously you have developed over many, because you're a music person. You play all kinds of instruments, from what I hear.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Well, in the brand of music I play country music and I play folk music. So there aren't many young boy bands and that type of music. So you kind of have to see it all and sound pretty old, if you know what I mean. Oh, there he is. There's Johnny Cash right there.
Did you think about radio, maybe, of doing radio?
Absolutely. Radio was my first love. I've actually just started out doing a little bit of radio, but the music kind of took over. Once I got my first guitar, that was it.
Well, you know, music always supported my radio habit.
So it goes, you know, with one without the other's no good, is it? You know?
Well, I was always able to make a lot more money. I didn't start a watch. We'll assume we've been talking 3 minutes. I could always make a lot more money playing music than I could doing radio. There's just no money in radio. I don't know if there is in England, but there isn't in the United States.
Absolutely not. Not these days. With the coming of robot radio, as my radio instructor called it. There's always money in music.
He's talking about the satellites, his robot.
Internet radio, satellite radio, because he's used the old cart system. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Oh man, yeah.
I've
got a 3-stack and a cart recorder and a big sack full of carts in my storeroom right now that I'm fixing to give away.
My goodness.
Well, they're of no use anymore. They were poor technology at best when we used them. And with digital now,
I think now they're a sort of forbidden subject. You know, you bring them up at a conference and the whole room falls silent.
Yeah, nobody uses them. But back in the early 60s, when there was much copy read live and many, many commercials played off transcriptions. Carts were just, that was a wonderful breakthrough.
But now, yeah. You know, you look at it, I mean, we were talking about it before we went on air, as, yeah. if you will. You know, we've gone from LPs to cassettes to CDs to these little digital cards now that the size of a stamp, you know, a little postage stamp. It's unbelievable.
And they do 8 gigs on and 8 gigs. Well, I have a 2 gig card, and I keep it in my PTR one, and I record every weekend. And when I start recording, I push the button, and it says recorded. 10 seconds. Available recording time, 35 hours, 17 minutes. And that's MP3 128 stereo.
That's unbelievable.
You know, 22 hertz sound audio. And that's unbelievable. 35 hours on that little 2-gig card. And it'll do it, too. I mean, if you let it record, it would do a day and a half.
Absolutely. You know, if you want to record, say, one of your big weekends that you do when all the good folks get together, you could, theoretically, if you wanted to.
Record the whole weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Take one along, guys, and record some of Phil on his guitar. Yeah. It'll be worth it.
Do the entire weekend. It's amazing. Cassettes now, as we were talking a while ago, when I finish Newsweek, I just chunk it. You know, used to, I'd stacks of those. I'd go through them, separate them, hour, half hour length of cassettes in case I ever needed them. I gave away a box of about 1,000 cassettes not long ago. Just gave them to, you know, that was unheard of 5 years ago. But anyway, enough of that. How did you lose your eyesight? What is your eye problem, and how did you lose your eyesight?
Oh, boy. I was born blind, but the name for it is Leber congenital amaurosis. You tried saying that on a Friday night.
Leber congenital amaurosis.
Hey, he's got it. Yeah,
I've got it. So what does that mean in layman terms?
To the layman, I've got all the equipment, but none of it works.
Oh.
The retinas are all there, but there's nothing doing. You know, they put the light bulb in, but they forgot to fuse it.
Forgot to fuse it. Didn't they? Did they do much tests on you as a child to try to make you see, to try to figure out what was the deal?
None that I can remember, to be honest. It was all pretty much confirmed by the time I was about 6 months old, so that's very sketchy,
Do you have brothers and sisters? Do you have siblings?
We've got quite a big family. I've got two half-brothers, half-sister, and a younger brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you in the scheme of things?
I'm right in the middle. I'm number two.
None of the other kids had any eye problem at all?
No. In fact, it's unheard of in our family. I'm the first.
Just one of those things that happens.
Absolutely.
No one knows why. No one can guess why. But it isn't. It isn't congenital. It won't happen again. Hopefully.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. It won't happen again, I don't think.
Okay. So this. You say you're 23, 22.
22. Yeah.
I was just trying to figure. So you were born in 85, 84, 80, somewhere around there.
85. Yep. On Independence Day.
In 1985.
That's right.
So you've never known a time when we didn't have talking computers and cell phones and those kind of things.
Well, the UK was a lot behind the US in all that kind of stuff. I mean, the first talking computer over here didn't actually come until I was about 5.
Really?
I remember actually hearing a demonstration of that machine, and I thought, my goodness, that is amazing. Of course, now everybody had scoffed at it, but at the time, something that would actually say a sentence of text was unbelievable.
Well, and now, of course, we have talking cell phones. I guess you have one. Everybody.
I do, yes, yep.
Yeah,
but these things aren't just phones, though, are they? I mean, you've got a recorder on that, very basic recorder, but a recorder nonetheless. A video camera, a camera, a note taker. God, these.
My wife just bought an iPhone, and you think yours has got a lot of stuff? My God, she's got an eight gig iPhone with the whole 8 gig. She's got about 2 gigs of music on it. I think 460 something tunes. On her telephone. That's wild. Okay, so when you were a child, where did they send you to school? Did you go to public school or what?
Yep, I went to normal public school, or mainstream school, as we call it over here. I was going aboard. We went to a boarding school in a place called Sheffield, which is about a stone's throw from here.
Uh-huh.
But my mum and dad talked about it, and they eventually said, well, no, we want him to experience life, I wouldn't say the hard way, but or I think the normal way is a wrong expression as well, but I think they wanted me to integrate with other sighted people as soon as possible.
Well, it is a sighted world, you know.
It is, you know.
And that's not going to change, but it's nice to know other blind people and know how they do things, and you can learn from them. So how long did you stay at the old boarding school?
Well, I was at an advantage there because there were seven other blind people at the mainstream school.
Oh.
I never actually boarded. We looked around and they said, no, it's not going to be. So I started right up from nursery school. Yeah. I'm amongst sighted children.
And with the other sighted children, with the exception of these other six or seven blind kids that were there?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And they, I must say, they cope with it marvelously in primary school. To them, you know, they were a bit curious at first, but they were so helpful, and I think the reason for that was because it was only a small school. There was about 150 children, so everybody knew everybody else, if you like. And it was, yeah, it was a very, very close community.
Well, did they start teaching you Braille when you were six?
They started that when I was four.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, well, how did you find Braille? Is it useful for you? Did you like it? Is it good?
To be honest, I can't actually remember how I found it at first. I know I learnt it fairly quick, but put it this way, I still use Braille,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a lot of the other young people today would say, well, I don't really use it these days because there's the computers and the scanners, but, mm-hmm. you know, one of these days you might not have a computer or scanner to hand and you've got to fall back on the old Braille.
Have you ever read a library book in Braille?
Several times, yeah. I'm a member of the National Blind Library over here, so.
So you are a Braille reader. That's usually the kind of the mark.
Yes.
Like, you know, people who don't read it, can't read a book in Braille, usually say, well, they're, you know, like me. I couldn't. It'd take me about 2 years to read a Braille book if I.
Oh, it would me. I prefer audio, but I've when I was younger, before I got the computer, I was always reading Braille books.
That's good. We need to keep Braille alive. I'm not a Braille reader, but I understand, you know, most successful blind people, I will have to admit, are Braille users and Braille readers.
That's correct. We must keep it alive.
That's just the way it is. Okay, so you started Braille. Did you do high school all in this one school?
No, I switched schools at age 11, and that was a different kettle of fish. It was a much bigger school. There were about 600 pupils at that one.
Why did they switch?
Blind people. This school only supported children from ages 4 to 10. So I had to switch over to high school, I guess you'd call it over there, but secondary school over here, which is basically 11 to 16. So I switched there, and it was much more different experience. The kids over there were, it was a different neighborhood, and they were brutal, to be honest. It was a case of survival of the fittest amongst the blind people.
You mean they were physically mean to you?
Physically and emotionally. I was one of the lucky ones, to be honest.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's indeed. Terrible.
It was. It was absolutely awful. There was a time, actually, when I was 13, that I refused to go to school for a very long time. You know, my mum couldn't convince me to go to school because there was so much hatred and bullying towards the other blind children. But eventually I went back because, well, there was nowhere else for me to go, basically. So,
man, that's and they physically would hit you and punch you and...
I've been punched, I've been stabbed, people have attempted to throw me downstairs, people attempt to mug me, but as I say to Kay, you know, that's where I learned to fight, because you either learn to fight or they will absolutely ruin you.
And this was just because you were blind?
Yes.
I just find that so disheartening. You'd think that the school authorities would, you know, because that wasn't all the kids. I'm sure that was just three or four ignorant chaps.
It was a good majority. There were one or two children that used to come up and say, look, we didn't have any part in that. I'm really disgusted at the other kids. And I used to say to them, you know, I understand how you're feeling and everything. I know that you weren't a part of it, but my God, can you explain why the others are doing it? And they said, no, I think it's just because you're different. But so many blind people have gone to that school over the years and done nothing. You know, they've just gotten used to the fact that for someone to come in and retaliate, that was something new to these guys. You know, they weren't used to that. So, but I think that encouraged them even more.
And so you were the retaliator.
I was, yes.
You were.
Yes.
And your parents obviously went to the authorities there at the school and said, hey, that Jack is experiencing a lot of physical torment.
Absolutely. Some of the teachers came from the school to our home, and they sat down with my mum and me, and, you know, we explained the situation. Jack is obviously going through a terrible time. You know, these kids are picking on him. He's resorting to his instincts. You know, he's fighting back, and he's the one that's getting the lash for it. You know, it's not fair.
And what did the teachers seem to think about all this?
To use an old expression, yeah. Complete squat. Nothing was done at all.
Really?
I think one out of those children was expelled because he was particularly nasty to a lot of the children. He was real evil.
Did you consider at that time going to the boarding school?
Our government over here, our local council, wouldn't pay out.
Wouldn't send you? Wouldn't let you
go?
No,
they refused, point blank.
So you learned at an early age, life is not fair.
Absolutely.
That just seems so weird to me, because I hated school and I didn't like it, but it wasn't because anybody was picking on me. It's just because I didn't do well with Braille, and I didn't like school. It didn't suit me at all. I wanted to be a radio announcer. I knew what I wanted to be, a disc jockey, and I knew what I wanted to do, and they weren't helping me any.
Well, to be honest, so did I. You know, I wanted to be, at that time, I wanted to be a professional wrestler. I didn't want to be a mathematician or a doctor. I wanted to wrestle or go into radio.
Uh-huh.
And the school was less than helpful there. So that wasn't a big help either.
Yeah. You wanted to be a professional wrestler.
Or amateur wrestler, yeah.
Amateur wrestler. Is wrestling in England as phony as it is here?
Wrestling in England kind of died out when I was two, but I managed to get loads of old tapes and things of it, and no, it wasn't, to be honest. Some of it was staged, but some of the bouts were actual serious wrestling, you know. But
So you are an athlete, you were athletically inclined, you were...
Yeah, I played a lot of football. I won a silver medal in football and swimming, but it was wrestling and the martial arts that... Because I considered fighting, to me, was an art. It wasn't like, let's go out in the street and find somebody to fight. It was like an art. Say, like, I know you interviewed a lady that took part in judo and was very successful at it. I was really eager to do that.
And you went and took taekwondo, or took what?
At a later age, yeah, I did study judo, and I studied a few martial arts and thoroughly enjoyed it. But I didn't have the money to study at a competitive level, unfortunately.
Now, you say you played football. How does a blind person play? Why did that, you know, how did that work?
Well, I should hasten to add it was soccer, not American football, obviously.
Yeah.
But the ball is filled with ball bearings, so you can hear it at all times. And unlike other soccer games, you know, the crowd has to be completely silent throughout, except, of course, when a goal's scored. But it was a lot of fun, you know.
Now, this was with other blind kids or with sighted kids or with what kind of kids were on your team?
They were mostly blind people. The goalkeeper was partially sighted. But the rest of the players.
Okay, so this is tantamount to our beep baseball that we play over here.
Absolutely, yep. It's along similar lines.
So the ball has a bell in it, and you can hear where it is at all times.
Yep, that's right.
And so you guys would line up in two lines opposite each other, and somebody would count 3-1, and the ball would, somebody would snap the ball, and you just tackle a guy in front of you.
Pretty much, yeah. And the idea then was, you know, get the ball and kick a goal. There were height restrictions, obviously, on your kicks. Yeah. You know, you could only kick the ball so high. It was a great deal of fun.
Was it now? But you were in public school. Where did you do this? Where did you play this blind football?
That was actually the highlight of my secondary school. All the blind kids, one day, one of the teachers got us together, and they basically said, there's a football tournament happening in Liverpool, and our school's been invited to go along there and play.
Right.
It turns out our school wasn't represented. We ended up playing for our boarding school in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you know, it was the first time we'd actually been able to play an active sport, because mm-hmm. normally in sports class, you know, in PE, we were taken apart from the other sighted kids because it was impossible to play with them, you know, play football and mm-hmm. cricket.
Oh, yeah, whatever. It would be.
Yeah.
All right, so you did high school, and you graduated high school, or did you quit, or what did you do?
I did go through to high school. My last day of high school was a bit of a riot because a couple of the kids tried to sabotage my laptop, and that ended in a class-wide brawl. And at that point, I said to the head of the visually impaired department, look, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to come back for my exams, of course, because I want to graduate, but I cannot be in this school anymore. And that lady, bless her heart, she was really nice. Her name was Miss Dykes, and she was nearly in tears as well. She said, Jack, I know you can't do it, so just go now. Don't come back for the last day celebration and that. Just come back for your exams. So that's what I did.
Resulted in a class-wide brawl.
Yes, the guy who was sabotaging my laptop, I managed to catch him, and to cut the long story short, nearly ended up breaking his arm.
Really?
Yes.
And
basically, several other kids joined in. There were chairs being swung and things like that, and it ended with me picking up a table and said, look, you people, I'll say that word, that's not what I said, but I said, you people, just leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
And I walked out.
Man, I don't understand what a violent. Of course, I guess that I guess I'm naive. I suppose that goes on in the States. If it goes on there, but that just seems bizarre to me.
They were, you know, violence was their only answer. They couldn't come up to you and say, excuse me, I'm not being funny, but how do you do this? And how do you do that? That you were the freak. And that freak had to be beaten up. They had to steal your bag. They had to whip you with a towel in the dressing rooms for PE. They had to throw things at you. They'd do almost anything. And they would, you know, I make no bones about it. I strongly disapprove of going out looking for trouble. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm only human and I can only take so much.
You're a fighter. You're a scrapper. You gave sometimes as good as you got.
Absolutely. If somebody attacks me, I'm going to give as good as I've got.
If you could get your hands on the guy, he was in serious trouble.
He's taking a ride in a meat wagon.
I just don't understand that. And that's terrible for a blind child to not only have to go through being blind, but to have to put up with that. With that sort of, that's unconscionable as far as
I'm still glad I did it, though, Phil, because like you said, I learned at an early age, life is not fair. And if I'd have gone somewhere else, I don't think I would have learned that lesson now, and I would have been rather naive.
Okay, but you and your laptop, you came back and took your exams, and you got a diploma, high school diploma.
I did. I left high school with a couple of exams under my belt.
And this was 2000 what? This was early in
2001. This was.
Okay.
Then I went off to college.
So you did go off to college?
I did. Yes. Went to two different colleges. The first one I studied computers for a year.
Uh huh.
And then I just got my computer then, so it tied in nicely. And I actually went over to not too far from your neck of the woods. I went to America in 2002 to Ohio. I should add, I went there unassisted, which my family were was so worried about. It was unbelievable. You know,
so
my dad.
So you flew from where you are to where? To where did you land in?
From London, England to Cleveland, Ohio.
Uh huh.
And my family were so nervous. You know, my dad's not around very much. I won't say why, but he's not.
Yeah.
But he called me the night before and he said, I'll never forget it. He said, son, just take it easy out there, you know, because we're all worried about you, you know.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, I'm going to be fine. And I was. I had probably the best 7 days of my life.
From Cleveland from London to Cleveland, you got off the airport in Cleveland. Is that where the school was? Is that where you were going?
No, I went there to visit a friend. This was in the holiday time of college.
This was just to visit a friend?
Yep, a friend I'd met over the internet. I'd saved up a bit of money.
What a thing.
Over time. It was absolutely brilliant.
And you had a wonderful time here in the States.
I loved it. You know, I've got the bug because I'm desperate to come back. You know,
you didn't tune around on the radio while you were here or anything, did you? No.
I'm afraid I did. I did listen to some of the baseball games, actually.
I bet you did. And so you
actually got to go to a live game.
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
I'll be darned. And so you spent 7 days here, and then you went back to college. Did you finish college? I did.
I finished at college, and then I studied another year at that same college, which was in Nottingham. I studied radio. And music engineering. I wasn't very good at music engineering simply because the course material was inaccessible.
What is music engineering? What are they talking about?
That'd be studio recording.
What were they recording on? What were they recording on? Pro Tools or what?
Cubase.
Cubase.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if Jaws reads or not. Does it?
It doesn't. No, it's operated with a Mac.
Okay.
Apple Macintosh.
And so Cubase, now we're going to get a letter from somebody who will say, well, yeah, so-and-so will read it. I'm sure there is a way to read it. So it's a 24-track program or two-track? What is it?
I believe it was a 24, but I'm just going off memory there.
Okay, what do you have now on your computer that you record on?
I use Goldwave, personally, and I've got SoundForge as well, but I like Goldwave because it's simple.
Man, Goldwave is the greatest little program for the money.
Isn't it just
just wonderful? It's so nice and so easy and so Jaws friendly.
Exactly. That's why I like it.
Yeah. It's the thing to have, and it's cheap. $30, $40, whatever it costs.
Well, I recorded my first two CDs with that, you know?
You have some music CDs?
I do, yes.
I didn't know that.
I've got a solo CD, and I've got one on which I collaborated with a very good friend of mine, Steve Doyle. He played the banjo on it. And we actually recorded that first CD in 6 weeks, but that was a little later. I'll get to that in a bit.
Well, I didn't realize that you had music CDs. I knew you were interested in music, but I didn't realize you'd done a couple CDs. If you would send me one, then we would do a show and play some of your music and talk about it and do another show with you and play some of your music. I'd love to do that.
I'd be delighted. I could do that.
Okay, so you actually got it. What did they try to teach you radio? How did they do that?
To be honest, that wasn't much of a course, but it was the only course, so I took it. It was a 10-week introduction to radio, where basically we got to, me and a bunch of other regular sighted people got to work on a very, very small station in a town called Ashfield. Like, we broadcast from Nottingham to Ashfield Community Radio, I believe it was. We did that three times.
All right.
And we learned the basic theory of radio, you know, how to acquire a license, how to work the desk.
Okay.
And things like that.
But were they doing it all on computer by then?
Oh, no. This was with the carts and everything. This was quite an old-fashioned approach.
Boy, it is an old-fashioned approach. Carts and they're playing CDs, I guess.
Yeah, that's the one. Yep.
Well, you know, CDs, that's archaic technology now.
So they say, and that's a shame, you know, because I've got loads of them.
Oh, I've got loads of CDs. They'll always be CDs, but cards are so much more accessible. All right, indeed. So you finished college, and are you working now, or are you just kind of hanging around hoping for the best, or what are you doing now?
Well, believe it or not, I went to another college. This time it was a blind college in Hereford, uh-huh. which is a few miles away, and studied music performance. I studied acting there for a couple of years, and now I'm just waiting for my break, basically. My ambition is to do what they all do, you know, go to Nashville and try it out. But I've been on local radio a couple of times.
To go to Nashville and try for what? Try what? Try to be a to make it as a
country singer.
As
yep.
a country singer.
Yep, that's right.
Boy, that's I discourage that. That's a difficult thing to do.
That's half the reason I want to do it. I love the challenge.
You'd love the challenge. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do. Let's do this. Let's conclude here and hope that you, and let me get everything stopped, and I'll give you an address if you have a way to take it, and maybe you can mail me a couple CDs, and we can get together in a few weeks and play some of your music and talk to you again. How would that be?
That would be absolutely tremendous. Yep, I'd love to do that.
All right. Jack Scrinshaw has been our guest, and we're going to put you on hold and give you an address. And thank you, sir, and I'll talk to you in a week or two.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure being on with you.
Have hurt us both so much sometimes. We each go places love can't touch. A calendar marks days to keep. The moon shone down upon chill waters running deep. The veil so thin that light poured in. The sight was so astonishing. The time meant nothing. Only a kiss that felt like this couldn't move me.
Which Adderall do you use?
Just I have the Adderall 1. You probably have the 9, right?
Yeah, I have the 9, yeah.
You have the 9, which takes a smaller card. I chose this one because I already had a Bookport and a PTR1, which took the larger digital card. And I thought, well, I already have some of those cards, so I'll just buy the Adderall 1. But now I've ordered a Stream. You familiar
which
with
takes
the
smaller cards.
Which takes the smaller cards. Yeah. So there. Wherever you go, there you are. All right, we're recording, and I guess that'll all be on the show.
Unless you edit it down, of course.
I won't do that. I don't edit. Matthew Horsepool is our guest from... We're across the pond again. We did Jack Scrinshaw a while ago, and so we'll...
K. Scrinshaw, wasn't it?
What?
Wasn't it K. Scrinshaw?
I did K., his girlfriend, and then I did Jack. This morning, Jack is a musician and quite an interesting fellow. You don't know him, right? No. Well, I think the Scrinshaw name came from him, and so they're going to get married, so he went ahead and set her up as Kay Scrinshaw, but she's really Kay Deer. That's her real name. So, anyway, I solved that mystery today. It's another big mystery I solved. Matthew Horsepool, how are you, sir? How old are you?
Well, to answer both questions, I'm very well, thank you, and I'm 15 years old.
15 years old, so you're still in high school.
Indeed, yes. I attend Priestley Smith School, which is a school for blind and partially sighted people, which just happens to be in Birmingham, which is where I live.
All right, and you're blind or partially sighted. Do you have any sight at all?
No, not even light perception.
Nothing, just nothing, huh?
Yeah.
Well, me neither. So you've been like this all your life? Tell us how you got blind and what happened, and give us that story.
Well, there's a theory that Mum went strawberry picking before I was born, and that caused my blindness. Now, how true that theory is, I don't know. But that's the one theory that seems to have been floating around.
Strawberry picking. What would that have to do with being blind? I don't understand.
Well, nor do I, really. That's why I don't really believe the theory. But apparently there might have been some sort of chemical in the strawberries or something that caused my disability, which is obviously blindness, which is in turn bilateral microphthalmia and colobobo, very, very big names, which basically means I have small eyes and they're incomplete to boot.
I believe if there was some correlation between the strawberry picking and blindness, the scientists would have already discerned that and we'd know something. I don't believe that. I think strawberries are harmless.
But hey, it's the theory that's been floating around, so I thought I'd just tell you anyway.
Well,
even though I personally don't believe it, no.
We all like a good theory. And your mom doesn't believe it either, does she, huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't think she does. But I don't know. I mean,
while she's there, we could ask her, I guess, couldn't we? No, we won't do that. We won't bother. That's such a far-fetched theory. So you were born blind 15 years ago, right? Correcto?
Yeah. February the 9th, 1992.
1992. My, I was already married to my current wife by then. So, you were a child. Do you have brothers and sisters, or you're an only child, or what?
I have a brother and a sister, so one of each. They're both younger than me, so obviously at the time I was born, I was an only child. I assume there was some concern when my parents realized that they were... Oh, my mum realized she was pregnant with Jennifer, my sister. Uh-huh. I assume there was some sort of concern whether she'd be blind, but she turned out normal, so...
And both your brother and sister have normal vision.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe it won't happen again ever. We hope not.
We hope not. Really don't know. I mean, if I marry and my wife has a son or a daughter, then they may be blind. We really don't know.
Well, you will marry someday. Maybe not in the near future, but someday. So, as a child, they let you rum and ramble and do pretty well as you pleased. Obviously, you seem fairly well adjusted. So they didn't coddle you as a blind child, or what?
Not really. No. There are times family members do.
Still do? You
know, still do, yep.
Oh.
Still. I take you back to a few weeks ago. I was on holiday. I say on holiday. It was a weekend away down to a place called the Wirral.
The where?
The Wirral, and I think it's some remote part of Liverpool.
Oh.
Anyway, we went down to this... I guess the best word to describe it would be a castle.
My heavens.
It wasn't quite a castle, but it was, that's the best word I can use to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
One of these places with loads of rooms and loads of steps.
Uh-huh.
And we arrived about 10 o'clock in the evening on the Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, look, let me just have an explore around this place. And several people, actually, they said, well, no, there's no point exploring around this place because you'll fall down the stairs and you'll hurt yourself and it's 10 o'clock at night and it's really not worth you exploring. And, if it was up to me, I would have just gone around, and if I fell down the stairs, I fell down the stairs. It's not as if there were that many of them. Or obviously, there were a lot of them, but they weren't all in one place. But,
you weren't going to fall down the stairs. You got sense enough to know when there's stairs, and you just walk down them. You don't fall down them.
Well, sure.
Yeah. I know that, being blind, and you know that, but they didn't. These people are with you didn't know that.
The most embarrassing moment of that weekend was I woke up at 2:30 on Saturday morning, needing to go to the toilet, of all things, I walked down. I walked down to the... to the men's toilet, uh-huh. and bumped into my grandmother, who was just coming out of the ladies, and she insisted on waiting outside the men's toilet just to guide me back up to my room.
Oh, sighted people. They just don't know, do they?
No, they don't.
They don't understand. Your grandmother is old, and she doesn't understand how you're able to do anything. You poor blind boy, you couldn't, you know, how could you do anything? Well, she meant well. You know, you got to give her that. You know,
of course.
You know that.
Credit where credit's due. She meant well, but I think it's a common misconception. I mean, in some ways it's not. I mean, blind people cannot do everything, but then again, sighted people can't do everything. But... it seems to be a common misconception that blind people are somehow inferior to sighted people in that we cannot move around and we cannot really be very independent. And it seems to be a common misconception.
Yeah, I have a wood shop, and people say, well, how do you keep from cutting your fingers? Well, I'm careful, just like a sighted person would be.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to cut myself, so I'm very careful.
I live on a road, quite a busy road. In fact, it's a very, very busy road, and there's constantly traffic going down. And I very often stand by the crossing on my way back from church on a Sunday morning, just as the just as Erdington shopping centre is getting populated. And the amount of people that have come up to me over the months and said, hey, you know, you do realise that there's cars on this road? And I'm thinking, well, yes, obviously I realise there's cars on the road. This is what a road's for, after all.
Yeah, I can hear them. I always tell them I'm blind, not stupid. Of course, now people say, well, you may be both. You could be, it's a possibility you're both. But, you know, you have, your other senses aren't heightened. They don't work any better. You just use them better. You know that.
Yeah.
All right, so you went to school. They sent you to public school. They didn't try to put you in a blind school of any kind.
Yes, they did. In fact, I'm still in a blind school, as I said.
Okay, that's right, you are. You said you're in a blind school, but it's a blind school that's there in your town.
Yeah, and I'm quite fortunate that the blind school's there in the town. It's a day school, and it's in the town, and it's funded by the same education body that fund regular mainstream schools.
Well, they don't have any dormitories that kids stay in?
No, they don't. It's just a day school.
Oh, so all the kids who go live close around there somewhere?
Sort of. I wouldn't say... I mean, there are some people that I wouldn't call close to the school, but...
But they come and go every day.
They come and go every day, so they're obviously close enough to come and go every day.
How many students or how many pupils does this school have, or do you know?
Well, I'd say that we have about 60 pupils, and those pupils range from about the age of 2 to about the age of 17. So, we're an extremely small school.
Yeah, but it is operated by the same people that operate the regular public school there where you are, right?
Yeah. It's not a separate council that operates the special school. It's just a.
All right. You told me what town. You mentioned it a while ago, but I can't remember what town. What town are you in? You're in
Birmingham.
Birmingham,
which I think the second largest city in England.
I think it is Birmingham. All right. Did you start at an early age? So they start kids pretty young. Did they start you at 2 there? You said.
Right. In regular school, I think it's a requirement that people go to school starting at the age of 4.
Oh.
Right. But there's also the nursery, which I suppose they obviously teach things in the nursery, but it's not not what I would call proper teaching. It's more playing with toys and things and learning that way. And I think that starts at the age of 3. Now, the School for the Blind in Birmingham, Priestley Smith, I think takes pupils from the age of 2. I'm not sure why. Maybe some pupils need extra help, or maybe some parents need extra help, that they take pupils from an earlier age. And yes, I've been at that school since I was 2.5 years old.
At what age did they start teaching you Braille, or did they teach you Braille at all?
I was taught Braille. Now, I think I was... Oh, gosh, you asked me a difficult question. Because I was so young, I can't remember when I started to learn Braille.
Really?
I remember I was still in the nursery school when I started to learn Braille. I think I must have been about 3.5, 4 when I started to learn Braille. So I was pretty young. And that Braille education was taken in steps, obviously. They taught me all the letters in my name first, all the letters in my first name, and then they taught me the rest of the alphabet, and then they went on to teach me the basic contractions, and I think they basically, towards the end, they taught me the Braille as I needed to know it sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I ever, they would teach me the majority of it that I would need, to write things. And if I was reading a book and I came across a sign which I hadn't seen before, I could just ask the teacher, hey, you know, what's this Braille sign? They would tell me.
All right, now, do they call that grades? We call it plain Braille, or just the ABCs of Braille are grade 1, and then they call the rest grade 2 and grade 3. And do they categorize it the same way there?
Yes, they do. Grade 3 isn't actually a recognized standard in the UK anymore. I think grade 3, Our grade three was shorthand, and very, 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 very shorthand.
Uh-huh.
It's no longer a recognized standard in this country, but yeah, grade one and grade two are still there.
And grade two is with all the signs, with the and sign and the D sign and the of and with and all those signs.
The four.
That
the,
you have, four, and all the signs that you have. Yeah, that's where I got confused. but do you use Braille now? Do you read books? Have you ever read a library book in Braille, with Braille?
I must confess that I don't read as much as I perhaps could or should.
Okay.
I use Braille all the time in school.
Uh-huh.
I have textbooks in Braille. I have worksheets in Braille. I write my answers in Braille. I do my examinations in Braille.
Mm-hmm.
When I get home, I tend not to use Braille as much. If I'm reading a work of fiction, I tend to either have an audiobook or, yeah, increasingly, I tend to have a scanned copy of the book and read it with synthetic speech, which some people, like myself, can do and enjoy doing it. Some people say that they just can't do it, that they can't stand the robotic voices of the speech synthesizer. But
yeah,
yeah, that's what I tend to do.
If you can do it, once you start doing it, you get interested in the novel or the whatever you happen to be reading, and you forget about the robotic speech, and it just, you,
yes,
can, I've done
and
it.
The more
I've read
you do
many
it,
books.
Here it is to forget that, yeah, that you're using a synthetic.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to. The stream has a much better. I have a book port also, and the book port speech, as far as I'm concerned, leaves a lot to be desired. Have you heard the book port?
Yeah, the book port speech uses double talk, and I must say I haven't used double talk very much, if at all. I've heard double talk, and what I've heard of double talk, I like, but.
Yeah.
I think, generally, with double talk, you like it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
Well, I've read several books. Of course, you know, the book port comes with, I think, 1,700 texts, just text-only books on the CD.
Oh, wow.
And,
I should... Or just for the books.
Yeah, you should get that. I should just make you a copy of the CD and send it to you so you have all those books. But they're public domain books. And when I run out of something to read, I'll scan and read through a few of those. And I've read several books with synthesized speech, and it can be done. There's no problem. But the stream, this new thing called the stream, has a better speech engine in it. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyway,
yeah.
So you read books on tape, or you read books on your computer, or what do you read books with?
As you said, on tape, CD. On the computer. Mm-hmm. Also, I have a Braille note, which is made by the same people that make the stream, and it's useful because it's got a Braille keyboard, it's got a Braille display at the bottom. So this is what I do all my work on now, because I can input in Braille and read what I've typed in Braille. But it also has a synthesizer built into it, so I can read books on there as well. So
textbooks, yeah.
Yeah, textbook, well, and audiobooks as well.
Yeah.
It's got an MP3 player in it. So if I'm going on holiday for a week and I don't particularly want to cart my laptop computer all the way around Cornwall to where I've got to be, I can just take the Braille note with me. It's a very, very small device, and it can hold my books on it.
Fill it up with books and just take the Braille note. Just as a sort of an aside, we are kind of in the thing here in the U.S. Canada, the folks in Canada are already reading books. They're reading books on disc. Canadians decided not to skip that disc. We skipped it, so we're kind of in the throes. How does your national library, I guess there is a national library that provides talking books for people, what form do they come in now? Cassette or flashcard or what? How do you get those?
CD. In the standard called Daisy, which is the digital.
Okay.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me get this right. It used to be the digital audio information system, but I think it's now the digital accessible information system.
So you think they've changed the audio to accessible? Yeah.
Yes, because you can do synchronized audio and text with Daisy now, which I must confess, I haven't read much Daisy, but it can be extremely useful with books that have a lot of structure to them, like a textbook. If textbooks ever go electronic in this country, Daisy would be fantastic for them, because you could have the audio, you could have the text, you could put them on something like the Braille notes and read it in Braille, or read it with the synthesizer, or listen to the audio portion, and you could just, with a few commands, find a particular passage of text. This is where Daisy comes in really useful.
Yeah, that's what Daisy is. Actually, it's a marking system that allows you to move around in the book by word or by sentence, or even to spell through the word. And so you don't get books in a digital form like delivered to your computer. That would be nicer, wouldn't it? Then you can put them on disk yourself.
Would be nicer, but it would take a while, because they need to get around all the security and things to make sure people don't pirate the books. I mean, people can do it very easily on CD as well, but it's a little more difficult, because they actually have to copy the disc from one disc to another, whereas if it's a download, they can just
copy it to a card or copy it to whatever.
Copy it to whatever and go. Whereas a CD, you'd have to copy the disc, you'd have to send it.
Of course, if they did it on CD, they've got a digital file of that book somewhere. I mean, that's the only way they could do that.
They've got a digital copy. Some way, yeah.
So that's a continuing thing, and we'll continue to advance. I think we all have to realize is that we're in the infancy of this technology. It is still new. It is still advancing and still evolving, and will continue to do that.
Oh, sure. I can remember now. I think it was back in 2004, as it was back then, Soundings Audio Magazine, which is actually still being produced, but I personally don't like the direction in which it's gone recently. But we used to have a fantastic publication called Soundings, as I said. In fact, as I said, it's still up there at www.soundings.org. And in 2004, they ran a huge, long 15-minute segment on Daisy and what Daisy was and what players were available and what the plans were for the future. So I can remember when this whole thing was still being unveiled.
Well, and it still is evolving. I don't know what they're going to end up doing here. They're doing flashcards, but NLS is about to allow us, I believe, to download books from their site. If you have an authorized player with a key on it, you can download books from the National Library Service site, which is going to be wonderful. I can hardly wait.
Yeah, and I think RNIB, which is the primary audiobook distributor for blind and partially sighted anyway, I think they're looking at a similar system. I remember when I first heard about their Daisy book system, they were actually looking at a designated Daisy player, standalone Daisy player, with either a modem on the back or an Ethernet jack on the back, where you could just connect it to a specific website and arrow through a list of books and press enter, and half an hour later the book would be downloaded. But I think that player is still in development, although I'm not sure, and that the RNIB are looking at expanding it to make it available on computers.
Hopefully less than a half hour. You don't have DSL? You don't have fast internet there where you are? Surely you do.
Oh, I'm sure we do, but...
You don't have it at home?
I do have it at home. I'm on a 4 meg connection here.
Oh, good.
So I'm just saying that the digital books are fairly high quality audio.
So I do books from this service called Audible. I don't know if that's available in England or not, but a book comes to me, and it may take to download that book 5 to 7 minutes to get an Audible book.
Okay. How long are the books, though?
Well, maybe 250 pages. I also do this thing called Unabridged, the Unabridged Project, where they are allowing us to download a limited number. But then they come with a good DSL connection. They come pretty fast. You can't really complain. I just am waiting for the day when NLS will allow us, and I think that's coming very soon, to download books. That's gonna mean a whole lot. They talk about, I think they say 80% of their library patrons in the United States are over 60. Well, I'm over 60, and I can't wait to download books,
Yeah. The only thing with downloading books, apparently, I saw a message to one of the email lists that I'm on about an ISP in America, and I can't remember what it's called. I think it might be Comcast. Shutting down people that download too much. So I don't know if the NLS book service would cause the bandwidth cap to be overrun. I don't know. But that might be something to look into.
Well, it might be. Hopefully we won't have that. I'd like to have a T1 at my house, and if I had the money, I would. You wanted to talk a little about technology that's offered to blind people. What sort of things? You said you had a Braille note, and you have a laptop. What else do you have?
Well, that's about it, actually. Here I have a Braille note, a Braille note and a laptop, running JAWS. And I'm currently on the family's desktop machine, which also runs JAWS. So it sounds like I've got a lot of technology, but actually it's not. It's not that much. We've had this desktop machine running around for a good 5 years or so now. So in computing terms, it's quite old.
Oh, it's ancient in computing terms.
It's ancient, yeah. The Braille notes I got back in 2004, and it's been upgraded a few times since then.
Do they upgrade it online? Can you upgrade it via the internet?
Yeah, you can, but I'm referring to major hardware upgrades. When I got my Braille note back in 2004, it was just that. It was a Braille note, and it had a parallel port, a serial port, and going back that long. And a couple of years ago, the Humanware Group released an update to the Braille Note hardware upgrade where they increased the processor speed, they changed the connectors, they put a USB connector on it, they put SD card support, stereo audio, you know, a whole host of things. So I sent it back for that hardware upgrade.
I was going to say, you had to send it physically to them to get them to do...
Yeah, I had to send it to the factory, and they basically... the way they did this was quite cool. They took the Braille display out of the old Braille note, and they put it in a new Braille note, and they sent it back, because the new Braille note was just a completely different internal design, I think. And they did it for, I'd say about a quarter of the price, or just a bit more than a quarter of the price.
Of a new one, what a new one would cost.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a pretty good deal, I think.
All right, you're 15 years old, so you're in the 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade. What grade are you in?
Okay, they call it year 11 here. Okay. Just to explain this a bit. We have nursery school first, or just nursery.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the reception class. And then we have... Then we have years 1 to 6, and then we have years 7 to 11. So nursery school is age... nursery school is the age that is the year that you are 4. So if you are 4 in February of... February of 96, then you will be going into nursery school starting September of 95, because you're 4 in February 96.
I got your point.
If you follow that, right?
Yeah.
So then reception class is the year that you're 5. Year 1 is the year that you're 6. Okay. 2 is 7. 3 is 8, and so on and so on.
5 is 10. 6 is 11. 12 is... What, but you say you're in grade 11, so you're about to finish?
I'm about to finish. That's correct. Year 11 is the year that you are 16, so I'll be 16 in February 2008.
And so next spring you'll be out of high school. It'll be over.
Yep. I'll be out.
What are you going to do? What are your plans? What do you think? What can you do to make a living? What do you want to do?
I don't know. I really don't know. Radio's a good choice for me, I think.
My heavens. You think so? But don't we all? We all want to be in radio.